everyone, and welcome back. Today is Friday, September 13th, 2013. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, everyone, how are you? I hope you've had a great week. I hope you had a chance to get a little bit of research done, and I hope you've had a chance to really just actually be a bit reflective. Things have been going on. We certainly commemorated again yesterday, or day before yesterday, rather, on the 11th, certainly what had happened on 9/11 in New York and in Pennsylvania and in Virginia at the Pentagon. I'm talking about, of course, the tragedy of September 11th. I hope that you were able to take a moment to pause and reflect and reflect upon things that happened, lives that were lost, lives that were saved as well, but just the tragedy of that day, but hope for the future. Anyway, certainly it's something that lives with all of us, but I hope you were able to take out a moment, and if you didn't, well, it's not too late to take that moment now. Anyway, busy week. Things are going on all over the place. There was a symposium that took place yesterday at the Smithsonian American Museum of History. And last night, apparently there was also a symposium, I believe Dr. Lonnie Bunch and Gwen Ifill, the journalist from PBS, Washington Week Review, they were at the Smithsonian last night for the big reveal in terms of information about their own DNA, which I'm sure was quite interesting. In the world of genealogy and genealogy research, a lot of energy is being put out these days. Of course, last week was the announcement that came. Ancestry is partnering with Family Search. Their goal, probably going to take about 5 years to fully unfold, but to put 1 billion, with a B, billion records online, make them available and searchable for the public. And all we can say is thank you. This is certainly something that is good news, and that continues to be a headline in the genealogy community. Well, other things are going on. By the way, I've got to say, last night, I hope you had a chance, and if you didn't, to tune in to Bernie Spinnett's show. Her guest was Professor Robert Davis, who has written a book entitled Ghosts and Shadows of Andersonville. What a wonderful, wonderful story in terms of what we are familiar with Andersonville, which was the prisoner of war camp. Union soldiers were kept as prisoners at this horrific prison in Georgia. And but what's kind of fascinating is that this is something that many people don't know. The individuals who were enslaved, or formerly enslaved people who were hired as individuals impressed to work at Andersonville, they often were individuals who helped liberate imprisoned Union soldiers from the Confederate prison. Absolutely amazing. I was also fascinated just with the personal background of Dr. Davis, in terms of how he has looked at aspects of what was going on in Georgia, what was happening with free blacks in slave Georgia, the international significance of these individuals who were enslaved. Fascinating background. And really, I learned a lot about Andersonville. I do know that there were some African-American soldiers who were there. And he has really put a lot of energy in terms of really exploring some of the mysteries that really unfolded in terms of who was imprisoned there, how the conditions were, how they were kept, and fascinating. I've also been excited to learn about his projects. He's worked on a number of essays looking at the history of free African Americans in the state of Georgia, and looking really from the colonial era up to the time of emancipation in the 1860 period. So it's kind of interesting. He's also looking at certain individuals by name. One name in particular caught my attention, Hubbard Pryor, who is a Civil War soldier who many of you have probably seen his pictures. You see the sort of before and after the man in poor, very poorly kept slave clothes, and then you see the polished soldier. But I've done a little bit of research on Hubbard Pryor myself, so it's been kind of fascinating. I was just kind of just intrigued to hear more about that. And I guess also listening to the show last night, it just shows me how little we've looked at certain things. You know, when you hear of Andersonville, you think again, Civil War, a bunch of white folks fighting each other. No. This is something that affected everyone. War is something that impacts every society and every social class, including those who were enslaved, including those who were poor dirt farmers, included the landed gentry. Something that was critical, and we should pay attention to what happened. A place not too far from America's Georgia, or Albany, Georgia, Plains, Georgia, where a former president is from. All kinds of things that really should encourage us to become interested than, or showing more interest than we have shown in the past. So tune into our show last night. As you know, our show airs every Thursday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. There's going to be a conference coming up on September 26th and the 27th. That will be on a Thursday and a Friday, and it's going to take place at one day at Hampton University Convention Center, and the other one will take place at Norfolk State University. The conference is entitled 1619, Making of America, and if you don't know the significance of 1619, that was when the first Africans arrived. As a group, there were approximately 19 of them who arrived as, we'll say, indentured servants in that 1619 time period. 100 years later, they would all be truly enslaved, their descendants and other new arrivals. But it is certainly something that's going to take place. And the cost, if you're attending both days, is going to be $75, or it's going to be $40 for one day. It looks as if it's going to be actually a pretty good lineup in terms of who the speakers are. And also just looking at a number of the topics they're going to be covering. And I'm always excited to see when there is just a really good lineup of speakers to get people exposed to different kinds of things. I do know that the welcome is going to be given by Dr. Cassandra Newby Alexander. And, she's the chair of the conference, 1619, The Making of America. And she teaches, of course, in African Diaspora Studies at Norfolk State University. And after all the words of welcome will be given, there are going to be some overviews in terms of looking at the African diaspora and looking from an Afro-Latino American view. And that should be quite interesting to see. There are going to be several panels that are going to be taking place throughout the day. And in the afternoon, the focus in terms of looking at the world and the diaspora, but also looking at American nativism, looking at race, class, and bias in actually Hispanic immigration and Irish immigration. Rachel Monroy is going to be looking at the Bennett family, Puritan faith, commerce, and African slavery in Virginia. Gwendolyn Farr is going to be looking at Samuel Johnson, the construction of race and the meaning of freedom in early 19th century Virginia. That's just one just sliver of what's going to go on Thursday. As you can see, the lineup is really amazing. It continues to get better from there. And they're going to be looking at a number of things in terms of looking at things from a Native American perspective. Also looking at, which I think it's very, very interesting, Page Laws from Norfolk State has a session, which I think it's sort of looking at both the Native American sort of meets the African. It's called Belle Sauvage meets Sorcière Noire, meaning Pocahontas encounters Tituba of Salem Village. And that should be really quite interesting. And I'm just excited to see that kind of energy and that type of creativity. I am just scratching the surface. This looks like a wonderful event. I do hope that if you're in that area, you may want to try it and make it. We're talking 2 days, Thursday, September 26th and Friday, September 27th. By the way, coming out of Louisiana, this is kind of a neat thing. I like to hear efforts of creativity that are being shared or that are being proposed. And one is the proposal for a new museum. And I was really very, very pleased to hear about that. I'm talking about a museum that's being proposed for the Lower Garden District Riverfront in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I'm referring to the National Slave Ship Museum. Now, this is going to be built around a full-sized replica of a slave ship, and it's going to be near the on the riverfront near the former Entergy substation down at Celeste Street, and it's going to be part of the renovation of the riverfront. And the project itself, or the initiative, is for the construction of the National Slave Ship Museum. And very, very similar to the project in Cincinnati, the $100 million National Underground Railroad Museum. But the focus is going to be an international one. As a genealogist, many of us are familiar with the work of Dr. Gwendolyn Midlow Hall, who has painstakingly worked to transcribe and study and put into a searchable database information on those who were enslaved coming in off of those slave ship manifests when there were manifests and other kinds of data that were created. Well, it's exciting because there has been so much documented history on the relationship between the slave ships and their port of New Orleans. So what a neat proposal to read about. It is still in a proposal stage, but it's still quite exciting. And one of their features, this is really what has me excited, they're going to include an on-site DNA lab that's going to be able to allow individuals to trace their ancestry back. So that is really cool. And they want to have that as part of the museum as well. So this is going to be something that hopefully will become a critical part of studying the story of the African diaspora. And it's something to really stop and realize that we're just a tiny blip on this earth. And as much as Americans, we do like to think we are the hub of the universe. Actually, here in America, Africans in America represent the smallest number of people of color who were brought to the Americas as enslaved people. The Caribbean and South America are indeed larger in terms of the numbers that were taken there, but we don't often understand that two-thirds of the African world outside of the continent of Africa is in the Americas, and it's not in North America. Anyway, it's going to be kind of interesting to hear about that. The museum is going to be built around a dry-docked replica of an 18th century slave ship. It's going to have an amphitheater and other types of features that are going to be built in. So it's just really kind of interesting. And I'm going to put a link for you on the podcast website just so you can read about it a little bit more and see what is being planned. Yesterday, I mentioned this last week, and if not, the week before. But yes, yesterday a funeral took place in Connecticut, and this is the story of Mr. Fortune, and who was known for many years as simply Larry. A funeral took place of this man who died more than 200 years ago, but he was never buried. In fact, he was boiled, I guess, after his death, his body was found. And he was given finally an opportunity to be laid to rest. His body was lying in state at the state capitol. And the very fact that this happened requires us to learn more about his life. Mr. Fortune was buried after this funeral in a cemetery that has been filled with individuals who were also buried there who probably never would have given him the time of day. But this is after his remains, his skeleton, which had been on display for years, and he was nicknamed rather whimsically Larry the Skeleton. But it turns out he was Mr. Fortune, and he really is finally at peace and is finally at rest. And a very, very dignified event occurred. His remains were lying in state in the state capitol. And it's just really something. And he was actually buried in the church where he had been a member. Rather, he was funeralized at that church. And yeah, it was 200 years coming, but yeah, the funeral took place, and there's some poignant video with the funeral, and you can see some of it, and I'll put a news link for you, just so you can see how the story was covered, and significant by all means. It's just something that you should be able to take a look at and be aware of. And it's, wow, what a lesson on how to certainly treat a person who has gone on to another stage or state. And he was really treated as an object all these years. Well, the object has now gone away, and the humanity was restored to the man as he was funeralized today in Connecticut. And I was just very moved by that story and wanted to share that with you. Here's an interesting project that was shared with me, and I was, must say, I was rather impressed. Apparently, this past week marked the 200th anniversary of a very famous battle that took place in United States Navy history. And this was during the War of 1812, and it was the Battle of Lake Erie. Well, apparently there is an effort, and Commodore Perry, many people are familiar with his name. He, of course, had captured an entire fleet of British ships for the first time. Well, apparently it has been estimated that maybe close to 600 of the men who served under Commodore Perry were people of color, were men who were black. And the challenge has been to identify them because Navy records did not indicate race. So only about, 10 or 12 or so individuals who were involved in that battle who were men of color have ever been identified. Well, there's an effort now to determine who those men were. The project is called Hidden Heroes, and the project is going to coordinate researchers to determine which men in the battle, this particular Battle of Lake Erie, were black men. They're going to be genealogical societies that are going to help with this process. And apparently they're looking for additional researchers and additional societies to participate in this. And one of the things is I guess what that Hidden Heroes has is the fact that they want to be able to identify as many African Americans who were in the country's Navy as possible. And it's just really kind of exciting to hear about it. The Hidden Heroes Project is really one of those things that expected to, I won't even say correct another chapter, although that's the way it's explained on the website. I'll say to write another chapter in American history. And of course, hopefully the benefit is that descendants of some of these men will learn a little bit by their history. And of course, I believe in the empowerment of knowing one's history as well. So it's just really good to hear about something like that. Coming out of Central Virginia, I understand that the Central Virginia Genealogy Association, this is the African American Genealogical Society, is having their meeting actually tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. and Alice Cannon is the guest. What Alice will be talking about is the experience of living at Bleak House Plantation and just her experience in tracing the families that were enslaved there. Now, apparently, this is going to be held on an Airport Drive in Charlottesville, Virginia, and it's going to be at the Latter-day Saints Chapel. So you do want to ask directions if you're there and see individuals walking around, ask them for directions to the chapel, which is where that's going to be held. A family project was shared with me just last night. Well, the family project is looking at documenting the history of the Fox Bank project. Now, where in the world is Fox Bank? Fox Bank is in South Carolina. And it might be interesting to see. It was covered in one of the Charleston newspapers, the story of what they're doing. Well, I've been impressed because the family that's really owns this website is known as the Lines. And I really hope that I am pronouncing it correctly. The Lynes family. Excuse me. And it's just kind of a neat thing to see how the process of looking at the lines and their family starting around, early 1700, 1720 in South Carolina. Well, the website is called the FoxBankProject.org. And it's a beautiful site. It's very well done in terms of the history. It's looking at the Lyons family, looking at the Whaley family years. And then, of course, daily life at Fox Bank is going to be shared and some of the items that they found. Chamber pots to jars and jugs and all kinds of things that they have found there on site. And, I'll put a link for you there. Just very, very, very exciting to see. Now, I want to share something else with you. I mentioned just a few minutes ago about the project to identify the black soldiers who fought in the Battle of Lake Erie. What I did not mention, I think I need to mention, is the fact that this is being spearheaded by the Center for Black Genealogy Research. I found the group, actually accidentally someone had shared something about their Battle of Lake Erie project, and I looked at that and I became curious as to who was really behind the project. And that's when I learned about the Center for Black Genealogy. Apparently, this is a nonprofit educational institute that, and I'm going to read just a sentence or two directly from their website. It says that this is an institute designed to advance the scholarship of African American genealogy and to promote genealogy research and preservation throughout the African diaspora. Wow, it's a mouthful there, but it's still kind of interesting and it did catch my attention. I'm assuming that this is a rather new organization, as the language is shared. It looks as if it is fairly new. There are an array of educational programs, apparently, that they're planning. And this particular effort with the Black soldiers of the Battle of Lake Erie is, I guess, the very first one of them. I looked at their website, looked at members of their board, and it's an impressive one. Some were names that I recognized. Others were not names that I recognized, but I did Google a few of them. And these seem to be individuals with excellent credentials. This is something that I think with time we may want to just follow and see what their activities are. If they are able to advance to a new level, then it's quite possible that this might be another entity from which we will be able to learn, to grow, acquire new skills. So it's something that's just fascinating to see. Plus, I looked at the entities with whom they have formed partnerships, and I was very impressed to see Family Search, Bold 3. The third one is escaping me right now, but clearly they have formed an alliance with very strong entities in the genealogy community. Many of us will be watching to see what's going on, and hopefully that first project will be a successful one. Anyway, wow, I'm looking at the time. It's really time to bring things down to a close. I've been going on for quite some time. I certainly appreciate you, you know I do, for being there, taking time out of your busy day and your busy schedule to tune in and listen to the podcast. And thank you, those of you who have been sharing things with me this past week. I do appreciate them, and I appreciate you. In the meantime, of course, I want you to have certainly a wonderful weekend. It's cooled off suddenly here in the Northeast, and hints of fall are in the air. And, of course, I do hope that you have a wonderful week of research and a great week of genealogy as well. In the meantime, please continue to do what you do, and you know what that is. Keep researching, keep documenting, and yes, always keep sharing what you find. Take care, everyone. Have a great week. Be well and be safe. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.